Blog Talk Radio.
You just don't know what you do to me.
Bad.
Give me all the chicken heads from Pasadena to Medina. Bet big, get in between your dentists. Yeah, the prognosis, doses, blends and bends like Twizzlers. Biggest fitness to hurt, what's under that skirt? Who filling them with octane? Got them gassed up, about to get blasted up, son. The last one, word the mother, brother, miss him. I seen it when he kissed him at the wake, made his body shake. The high die is 8-bit, the eyes smoke. Rap terror, four chrome and terror.
Two
five by the liberals, the fifth is conspicuous. Bad boy 6 to 95, ridiculous. My rap lines is like landmines. One step kaboom, black suit filled the room. So women make it.
You are listening to the 30 plus WTF show. The Fabulika.
In the middle of the day now, baby.
Good evening, good evening. Hey, this is Malika and Brittany, and we are the 30 Plus WTF show, where we talk about what is necessary. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Malika.
How's it going, girl? You know what? I called the restaurant where you had your birthday gathering, because I wasn't going to be able to make it, and I tried to order up some dessert and a bottle of wine for you, and they don't allow people to do that anymore. At first they took
the
order, and then the management got on. They were like, no, we don't do that anymore for security reasons. I was like, oh, wow. I was like,
security.
Okay. All right.
You just have to take me yourself.
Yeah.
You just have to take me yourself. I celebrate
will,
the rest
will,
of the whole
girl.
Year, rest of the year. I'm good. I was like, where are you? I was like, where is she?
Yes, girl. I couldn't make it. I was so upset. I was like, okay, I got to send something to represent. And they just don't.
Well, thank you.
I guess the world is just too crazy now. They're like, no, we don't do that anymore. Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But how was it?
Thank you
how
for thinking of me. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great, and the live band there was great. You were missed. But it's okay. We can keep celebrating. I've been celebrating my week. It's fine.
Yes, we gotta go out for some martinis. Have a good time. But the skydiving.
Sure.
I was
we didn't go.
I
haven't gone. Oh,
okay.
We haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, yeah.
Okay.
We're still making that date. Yeah. No, that hasn't happened yet. That hasn't happened.
All right, girl. Let's get our resident community activist on. He is well and back on his feet, and we're so happy. We were, like, all praying for him. He showed such commitment and dedication last show by coming on to the show while in the hospital. I was like, now that is some serious commitment.
All right, Lonnie.
Yes. All right, Lonnie. So, you know, we all look forward to him bringing the knowledge and that fire. So welcome back to the show, Mr. Lonnie Wilson. Hey, Lonnie.
Well, hello, ladies. How are you doing?
Well, good. How are you doing?
You know me.
Yes.
Know, once they let me out and gave me a clean bill of health, I've been fine. It's
oh,
good,
wonderful.
But, all
right. It's glad
to
hear you talking about.
Brittany. You know, you got another year older. It's good to be alive, so happy birthday.
Thank you so much, and another year better. You know, that's just what
yes,
I'm trying to
yes,
do. Yes,
I understand.
And thank you so much.
No problem.
It's been good. So today,
I was going to say, this is going to be an interesting show.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It is. My question today, though, isn't super heavy because it's still my birthday week. But the other thing is my favorite, this is my favorite, one of my absolute favorite times of year because the Olympics is on and I love it. This is my question today. If you had a time machine and could go back in time and pursue an Olympic sport, what would it be?
Oh, my goodness.
If you were like, you know what, wow. I could do this and, like, pursue my road to the Olympics, what sport would it be in?
Wow.
Oh, this might be a hard question. Okay.
You want me to go first, of course. That's good.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I'll go first. So I love a whole bunch of Olympic sports, but I think I would pursue gymnastics because I love it. So that would be mine. I always watch gymnastics. Anybody who knows me is like, okay, you must be watching TV because gymnastics is on. Or something like that, because I love to watch men and women gymnastics. It's just super cool that people can make their bodies do stuff like that, and it looks like they're walking or they're just, you know, they're just doing a forward roll, but they're, like, twisting and turning in the air. It's crazy. So I think gymnastics would be my thing.
That's interesting.
That, yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, I'm stuck y'all again. I love it. Okay, come on.
Yeah. You know, I'll go. I think I love to watch the track runners.
Oh yeah,
the ones,
I ran
the hurdles and
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
To me, that is such an adrenaline rush. I feel like I'm running with them.
Yeah.
And the ones
yeah.
that are like neck and neck, all of just that intensity that, and you see they want it so bad. I mean, it almost look like they're about
yeah.
to cry. I love it. I would love, I didn't run track in high school. I wish, like, everybody in my family, all the women in my family ran track. I'm the only one who didn't. And
really?
I would have loved. Have been, yeah, just an amazing runner. Mm-hmm. So that would be mine.
That's really interesting. That's an interesting question, Brittany, as usual. Even though you were supposed to be light, that's a really interesting question. I think,
yeah.
Because it's a competition and, you know, it's ancient and we don't even know its
yeah.
origins in some places. I'd say if I was to go back in time, I'd like to go back to where it was started and maybe in some way, kind of guide us in our understanding of how the world was going to be. I don't even know if I'd want to be in a sport, anything like that. But ancient times, things went crooked. I would have liked to have been there. But, you know, that's
oh, wow.
I'm weird like that.
Okay.
Mm.
I like it. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's just the Olympics is on. I love to watch all of it. I'm up till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning watching stuff. So I love to see, you know, people have pushed themselves to these limits. They have
yeah,
trained
that little
wild their
girl
whole
was
lives.
Disgusting.
Oh, I love her. They have she trained, you know, their whole lives for this. For you know, some of this stuff really
mm-hmm.
literally lasts seconds. And they've trained their whole lives for this. And I was almost crying and cheering. I was cheering and almost crying watching this girl lose the cycling event on, what day was that? On Sunday. She was winning. I'm not exaggerating, to the last, like, 2 minutes of the race, and 3 girls passed her, so she came in fourth. And I'm going to scream, like, no! Like, I almost cried for her. It was just sad. But
ooh,
I was just
that
like,
hurt.
She trained her whole life for this, right? So, yeah. Anyway,
that hurt.
I love the Olympics. I love the Olympics. Anyway.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, I like the diving too. The diving competition.
I love diving. Think about
diving.
It's on right now. I'm trying not to be distracted by it, but it's on right now. Sorry. I love it. Love it.
Is that where those complete pauses are coming in, Brittany?
Huh?
Is that where those complete pauses are coming in? Some guy
not
driving?
Not at all, Donnie.
I'm just checking.
Not at all.
All right. We got a great show tonight. I know it's going to be pretty powerful. Our guest tonight is a name I've been hearing floating around Evanston since I moved back from California, and I always see him in passing, but finally got a chance to really talk to him about his work in the community. And as a campaign strategist, Bobby Burns runs Power Ring campaigns, and he promotes political candidates and nonprofits and products. I mean, he just does a plethora of things just to get a brand out there and to get a concept out there. And I have a lot of respect for what he does. It's a lot of work, and every time I see him, he's on the go. He's, like, running. So we're happy to get his time tonight. And he's here to share his perspective on the elections and donating money to nonprofits. Now, I've always been a little bit of a skeptic, you know, in giving money to nonprofits. I really, like, want to do my research on where this money might be going. And sometimes you will never really know where that money is going. So he and I had a brief conversation about that yesterday. So I know a lot of people are tuning in tonight to hear about that, because some people do have a vibe about some nonprofits out there. So I'm looking forward to tonight's conversation. So please welcome to the show Mr. Bobby Burns. Welcome, Bobby.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
How you doing, Malika? And Brittany, I have not met you, but hello. How you doing?
Hello. I'm great. How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm good. You know, I'm still nodding off that Biggie Smalls intro. That was very fresh.
Hey.
I don't know if everybody got the same music, intro music, but I appreciate y'all giving me that. Because that was perfect.
Oh,
you got me in a nice, smooth vibe that I needed. So thank you.
This is how we do. This is how we roll.
I like y'all style. I like y'all style.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey.
And Mr. Lonnie Wilson,
now, Bob,
my brother, what's up?
Yes.
What's up with you, dog? You know, I spend a lot of time with Mr. Burns, and he's got a lot of, you know, really innovative and smart ideas, and it's going to be interesting to see how this gets played out tonight. So this is going to be fun.
Yes, yes. I'm curious to hear more from Mr. Burns. You know, I know people want to jump into the elections, but I'm really interested. I'm intrigued with the whole nonprofit donating our money, because so many of us have gotten involved in these marathons. I know we've been doing marathons for like 15 years. To find a cure for cancer. I mean, just all sorts of things we're giving our money to, and we don't see much progress in 15, 20 years. You know, I'm not, shutting them all down or putting them all down, but it does raise an eyebrow, like, well, I know they're getting millions of dollars, so where is all this money going? How come there isn't a cure for this yet, or, you know, how come this hasn't improved yet? So, you know, Bobby, shed some light. I've been looking forward to this conversation all day.
Yes, indeed, and me as well. And let me try to. I want to try to make this easier on myself.
Okay.
You know, the conversation. I'm not going to get into the medical field and those type of. I'm going to get very specific on just marginalized communities. Black and brown communities, and how, again, there's whole, in some ways, economies built on, again, raising money and hiring folks to address very specific communities and very specific needs in communities. And my biggest thing is this. You know, I was with a buddy of mine, Jedediah Brown, who's an activist in Chicago, and I was with him yesterday, and we went on Facebook Live, because everybody going on Facebook Live now, so we did it, and, you know, we had a discussion about, you haven't done it yet, you're going to do it soon, trust me, everybody's doing it, and once you do it, it's nice, because everybody becomes like a news, you know, person, like wherever you're at, you can just go live and say, hey, this is what's happening here, so it's a tool, it's beneficial, but the conversation we were having and that I posed to his listeners on that evening was, we almost need to relook and rethink about, you know, the effectiveness of all the institutions and organizations and establishments that impact our communities, from the police department to the nonprofit agencies. We need to look at the model that we have in both, you know, in all these institutions and organizations, and figure out if it's working or not. Because like Malik, I think I heard you saying in the intro, it's like there's this feeling that we all know. We don't know everybody's financials and all the ins and outs and how people get paid and what, you know, what the metrics are and how they're measuring things and what the outcomes are specifically. But everybody has a bit of common sense in them that, you know, I believe that they could tap into. And there's this feeling that it's just not working. It doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. And if you start at that place, then the next question is, okay, well, you know, why isn't it working? Well, you know, and that's why, you know, that's immediately where I go with that question. And so what I asked other folks last night was, you know, the police department and most of these organizations, their primary function is to bring order, in a sense, and I'm talking about the police department now, or in a nonprofit respect, to try to uplift very specific communities. And it's black and brown communities. If we're keeping it very honest, most of the budget of both of those organizations, you know, both of those entities or institutions are directed towards, again, in the police department's respect, bringing order to our black and brown communities and marginalized communities, and trying to uplift and create some upward mobility for those in need, and again, marginalized communities. And so what I said last night in respect to the police department was, does it feel like there's order? Just ask yourself that simple question. If the majority of the budget of all these police departments, Chicago Police Department, Evans Police Department, whatever police department, is allocated towards bringing order to, again, black and brown communities, marginalized communities, the hood, whatever you want to call it, if that's their primary function, that's why they're standing there buying all these militarized trucks and, you know, they're paying for overtime and they're hiring more police officers, okay, cool. But is it working? Does it feel like there's order? And in the same respect, folks that have upward mobility in our communities, black and brown folks are some of the most studied human beings on this earth. You would think at this point they would figure out how, again, to provide some upward mobility to our communities, given the fact that, again, the majority of the budget, of their budget, is supposed to be addressing these communities and very specific issues. So, again, I ask, in respect to these nonprofits now, have you seen the upward mobility that you would expect after probably, what, 100 years or a good amount of years of this model of give us the money and we'll figure it out. We know what's good for that community. We know what the need is. And those are the two questions I would even ask Malika, you and Brittany, and even I would pose to Lonnie before we even go forward.
I mean, if you turn on the news.
Can I jump in there, please? Pretty please with sugar on and all that. You know, it's really interesting that he said that because I have been in the social service arena now for 50-something years. And I said this at another show that a very smart social worker said to me that if we did social work correctly, we would put ourselves out of business. We would create healthy people. And what I'll say to what Bobby just said is, see, what's happened is it's become a business of helping dysfunctional and disfranchised communities. That's the business. And that business has a profit margin which people are using. If you use that same amount of money that has been invested over these 100 years that you speak of, and you had invested in people and people's ideas and things, you would have created a system where a bunch of healthy people are running around, running businesses, and doing the natural things that they do in order to survive. But what's happened is, in a paternalistic way, and I want to say this because maybe nobody else is going to say this, but I'm going to say this. This is not by accident. You know, you show little kids from Africa with flies on their faces for a reason. You don't show them the massive cities in Africa where people have raised and created cultures. You show the little flies on kids because there's a business of, you know, little flies on little black children. And that business is not to change the outcome of the black child. It's to enrich people who are supposed to be doing the job. So, you know, if we're going to open this up, let's truly open it up. Because we're getting right there to the real crux of the problem. It's the business of helping people stay dependent so that you can keep getting money off their dependency.
And I really am interested to know Malika and Brittany's opinion on that first question. The only reason why I'm trying to slow it down because this is for some folks, you know, this may be the first time that they're hearing this particular perspective. And so I want to slow it down and allow people to see that I'm not just trying to create, because it's enough people out here claiming that they understand, you know, what direction we should go in. I don't want them to think I'm trying to sell them snake oil. I want to take everybody step by step, as I'm taking myself even at the same time, because I'm at the same time saying, hey, you know, is it working? I'm questioning it myself. I'm in the same process that everybody else is, because, again, we've been told, you know, I think one of the, you know, so before I get into that, I really would like Malika and Brittany's, what's y'all take on that? Do y'all feel like it's working? Do y'all feel like there's been the, in the nonprofit respect, that we've seen the upward mobility in the black and brown communities, marginalized communities? Have we seen the upward mobility? Meaning, are we seeing, you know, increase in home ownership in our communities? Are we seeing increase in inheritances passed down? And, you know, are we seeing proof that all of this work that we've been doing all this time is effective and that this model is effective? And similarly for policing, you know, do you see the order that you would expect, given the fact that, again, millions and millions and millions of dollars are being invested to bring order to a community? Does it feel like there's order?
Gosh, it's different answers to different parts of that you just said. Like the home ownership, I definitely saw an increase in home ownership. I think as generation after generation, it was, you know, drilled into us, you got to own property. You got to own property. You got to get a college degree. You got to do this. So I think we saw more of that going on. But something happens where we're not leaving generational wealth. We're not able to leave that property behind. We're not able to leave generational wealth. We haven't gotten there yet. That I'm concerned. I would love to see that. That I'm concerned about. Why hasn't that happened? I mean, I have my theories as to why that hasn't happened. But
because the truth is, most of us don't have it. I know it's hard to, maybe we don't see it, but most of us are still in poverty. And there's a considerable amount of African-American men, especially, locked up. So you can't get wealth in those two predicaments if you're in poverty. With no social network, we all know business advancement is primarily about relationships, or if obviously you're locked up or if you have a record. So although I think we have seen some home ownership in some ways, but I think it would all shock us how much the marginalized communities, again, of this country are really, if you look at the percentage of people in poverty, it's still there. We're still right there. Maybe a few people have made it through, but we're still there. I mean, south side of Chicago, come on, let's walk. Let's take a walk.
Right.
Starting on the low end and keep going.
Right.
You know,
right. I'm not,
just close
I'm
your
not
eyes
saying,
and take, you know, just take that walk down Stony. You know, does it feel, again, like that's changed in the past, decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, 4 decades?
No, it hasn't.
You know,
hasn't.
We keep going.
And what I've noticed, like, my non-African-American friends is, they do have a different reality, though they may not be wealthy, but they're able to really leave behind some stuff for, you know, their children, their grandchildren, whereas you don't see that too much in our community. It's like we might be living all right, but our kids, you know, you on your own, you got to figure it out, and then your kids got to figure it out, and then that next generation got to figure it out. There is that difference in, you know, that's all I got to say on that. That's all I got to say on that. Brittany?
Yeah. I was just going to say that before we got on the air, I watched a little bit of a video of someone in a stolen vehicle being shot at by the police.
Paul O'Neill.
And, yes. So they're shooting at the car driving down the street, and I'm thinking, it's a stolen car. You're literally putting all kinds of people's lives in danger, shooting
everybody walking
at a
down
car passing.
Right.
Anybody walking past this car, because literally it passed by them, and they're shooting at it, and now it's like half a block away, but they're still shooting. Anybody could have been walking their dog. Anything could have been happening on that street. So when you say that, and I was just thinking about that in particular right now, when you say, have they brought any order or more, you know, more of a feeling of being protected to these streets, I would say hell no.
Yes.
That's a pretty direct answer.
Right. Love it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's just
love it.
Crazy. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lonnie.
And it's like, how many of us have family?
I love that you did that, Brittany. But I want to get Malika into it. She comes from a family that I've known probably 50, 60 years of my life. I'm only 60 years old, so yeah. I've known them. I don't remember not knowing them. And so when you start talking about home ownership and that there are things, even I don't even want to get on the police because pretty much everybody understands that the police
Everybody knows.
But the police budget in this town were not about order. It was about incarceration, if you really look at the model. So I'm not going to get on that. But I want to get on the real.
Hold on, Lonnie. Let's slow down because that's not what they're telling you, though. And so what I'm trying to do is step by step. Hold on. We're not trying to wake police officers up.
I understand, but let me finish my statement. If you look at the rise of the number of African-American and brown people that have gone to prison in the last 20 years, and you were to judge what it was actually meant to do, it was meant to incarcerate certain sections of this population. Now, whether they're saying it or not saying it, the numbers, if you go strictly, let's do the math, you've now got to the highest point of incarceration in the world.
Right.
Not just, you know, in Illinois or Indiana, in the world. You've got more people incarcerated here than anybody. So whatever they're telling us, we need to be smart enough to understand that that's not the true story. And the reason why I don't want to concentrate on that, because this police thing, what it's done is, it's allowed to take the real issue off of what you brought up, because the real issue is wealth. The real issue is generational wealth.
Absolutely, and we're getting there.
Right, and when you look at Evanston, Illinois, I grew up in Evanston, Illinois, and at one time, the African-American home ownership was hovering around 70% in the Fifth Ward. It is now less than 40% in less than 40 years, pretty much half my life. They've taken off, almost half the property has been lost by African-Americans in this community. So when you start talking about what are these programs and these social services and things have done for us, they taught us a type of dependence, in my opinion, that is unhealthy for us. And if they want to invest in money, can you imagine had they taken those police budgets and those budgets that they use with these equity loans and to rob these people of their homes, and they had invested them in people and in businesses and in education to make people run businesses on their own and regrow communities, what they'd have done. They knew exactly what they're doing. And, you know, this apologist part of me, I can't apologize anymore because I know I've been hoodwinked, and I can't just smile about it anymore. And I know that what you're trying to do, Bobby, you're trying to make the message palatable to all, but we've gotten to a point in this country that we got to tell each other the truth. If you use just Evanston as a model, and Evanston's Fifth Ward, which was a 100-year-old middle-class African-American community, and you look at it with all the models of all the African-American communities across the country, you'll pretty much see the same pattern. Home ownership that my parents and my generation had, the generation below me and the one below them aren't able to afford the same homes. Something's wrong. So this model, this paternalistic model of we're going to help you, nobody's helping us. And in my estimation, they're helping rob us. And, you know, I'll leave that with that because I don't want to overcome and then Bobby, you take it from there.
Right. So what I'm saying is I think it's important that we discuss the nonprofit institutions, especially because people, even all around us in this community, still believe in these institutions, meaning they're still cutting checks. Some of them are sustainers where they pay a certain amount of money a month, you know, to these organizations. They are supporting these organizations. And so the reason why I think it's important to slowly get people to understand, we're not trying to say, oh, nonprofits, they ain't doing no good, these are terrible people. We're trying to, you know, all be adults as we all are and take a rational look at, again, an institution that is not for fun. You know, I think we get so excited that we have these achievements, which all these organizations have achievements, and they show it off at these fundraisers, and it feels good. It feels excellent. But the hole that they're really trying to impact, if you look at it, it's the majority of that hole that they're trying to impact is still struggling. And the folks, most times they're not, who are helping, you know, this hole, this community to lift out of the, a certain condition, there's no sense of urgency with them. They can say it is. They can say, oh, I really care about this person who's struggling. But they're not. And so they have no built-in sense of urgency. So literally this can go on for the rest of existence for them, this whole cycle of this is how we do it. We give money to these institutions. They try to figure it out. They have few successes and not enough successes. They can do this forever because it's not their community for the most part that's impacted every day on a daily basis by the dysfunction of all of these institutions, which is why I wanted to talk about the police institution, with the nonprofit institutions, even with the educational institutions, because if you look at some of these, organizations like Black Youth Project and Sada's Daughters, and there's so many different organizations, what they're talking about is let's take a look at all these institutions and think about whether or not we need to get rid of all of them at the same time. And so that's why I wanted to talk about, all of it at once, because they really all function for the very same thing, and it's not working. We're not seeing the upward mobility we should get, in my opinion, and we're not seeing order brought to our communities. And so I will say at this point, I agree with obviously with what Lonnie is saying as far as we need to think about taking our money, in my opinion, instead of being sustainers to some of these organizations, think about the power that your dollar could have invested in, let's say, credit repair, something that seems like, oh, that's just – no, that's what people need, because that gets them access to lines of credit. That gets them access to some apartments. Some apartments is doing credit checks. I mean, it opens up your life and gives you more options. Just think how powerful – donate $1 million or $2 million or whatever it would be to just repair a whole community. Let's repair everybody's credit. YOU, which again, I love YOU. They've helped folks that I know, friends that I know and love. They've helped them. Absolutely. But somebody told me today that they raised like $15 million in the past 9 years or something like that. I might be off, but they raised a considerable amount of money. Where's that money going? That's my question. Now, if we look into it, it's probably more administration costs, more than anything. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying, again, they're doing what they were told was working, so I'm not knocking this institution at all or anybody that operates in it, because they're only doing what they were taught to do. So you can't knock them for it. They were told that this works. So please don't take this as I'm knocking them. What I'm saying is let's take a critical and rational look at, again, whether it's effective, because these are real lives on the line that that's what these organizations are doing. They're supposed to be saving lives and getting people out of poverty and depressed conditions. This is serious business, so we don't have time to get too emotional about it. We have to look at it like business. Is it working? Is it effective? What are the outcomes? You know what I'm saying? And those are the kind of things that we need to take a look at. Go ahead.
When you say that, it's all a business. You know what I'm saying? And the business of perpetuating the business is the business. That's how people. That's how the people in the organization make their money and pay their bills.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I've worked
to
for
nonprofits. Continue that lifestyle. Yeah.
Exactly. I've worked for nonprofits.
I love it.
And they would be like, okay, they look, we ran out of money for this grant, so we got to figure out another way to write this grant to say this and analyze something else, so we can all still get a check. It's just how it works. But like you're saying, there can be actual benefits and services that actually benefit the people in the community that can actually help somebody do something, because like we say on the show all the time, it is the money, but it's the opportunity that'll give you options. And that's what we don't have a lot of.
I totally agree with y'all, but I gotta spin something, so I'm gonna spin it like this. The pharmaceutical company that sells you aspirins and toothache medicine and high blood pressure medicine and diabetes medicine or whatever, if they actually cured the disease, you kill the business of the pharmaceutical.
It would go out of business.
Kill the business of the pharmaceutical. And what I'm trying to say to people in a very weird and straight way is, if you cure the dependency of the very communities that these entities are based on, you take the money
out
of their hands. So since we know this, and this model, you really don't have to even examine it. This model has not worked because no one's any safer. No one's any – mental health is not better. Physical health is not better. The communities, people are losing in states of depression all over the place. So something is wrong. And, I know I get the radical label all the time because I say things that I feel. But, I have to, because I'm only going to get one life. And I need to make sure that it says something. But we need to stop lying to each other. I worked at Family Focus for 17 years. I was a male responsibility coordinator. Now, I might have saved, I had 300 kids a year. I might have saved 10 of them a year. And those 10 are really thankful. They always thank me. Hit me on Facebook, hit me on the phone. Thank you, Lonnie. Thank you, Lonnie. But I also know that I have three times that number in prison. I have three times that number who have died. You know, I have three times that number who have fatherly children. You know, so we got to stop being, you know, yes, the 10% was a really good picture. We put it up on a poster. We said thank you. The kids loved us. But in the end, we lost more than we saved. And the model is it doesn't work. It's dysfunctional.
And the problem is we need that money directly impacting families and empowering families. Because the problem is they try, and I got this from Lon. Lonnie is he always said this, that you have to lift the whole family unit up at the same time. And what they try to do is pick off pieces of our family unit. Well, that ain't going to work because no family unit is going to work like that, meaning – okay, you might have got this kid out of this condition. Okay, cool. Then you find him a scholarship. Okay, cool. He's in college now or she's in college now. But if the family it doesn't have the same support, they're going to put a lot of tension and pressure on that student who's in college trying to focus, wanting to do well, but he's got his family back home that he still is accountable for, and they're not out of their condition. And so that puts a strain on that student. So maybe that student drops out year one, year two, year three. But you got to understand, a YOU or, you know, any organization, YMCA, all of them, you know, I'm not trying to pick on any of them. You know, they already got their numbers. That person in their books, he graduated. We got him a scholarship. He's in college. They already got their numbers. They got what they needed from him in order to get the next batch of money. But he dropped out, though, year two, year three. They don't know that. Because his family didn't have the support they needed so that they wouldn't put pressure on him and he could focus. So we try to just, you know, pick and piece at this huge issue. And at some point, we have to address all of it at the same time. And we got to have the courage to do that. And that's what I'm waiting for. I think that's what we're all waiting for. You know, you see a lot of protesters and a lot of activists in Chicago that are tired of it. And what I'm saying in a very real way is everybody who's donating to these nonprofits, you need to consider, you know, use another example I just gave, $15 million. Think what $10 million could do in directly empowering families. Again, getting credit repairs so people can get access to lending, whether it's to create a business or whatever, so people can get access to reliable transportation. Even something like that is just extremely important, and it's devastating families because they can't figure out how to not just get to the job, because that's just half the battle, especially if there's kids involved. Now you got to figure out how to get them to their care centers, plus get to work, plus da-da-da, and what if you don't have transportation? You know, now it's easy to say when you've benefited from having a nuclear family or support in whatever way your whole life that, oh, just pull yourself up and you can get through it. Okay, switch places.
Right.
Switch places and then say that. And so... we have to, you know, they're not feeling it. I look around every day. I walk through our communities. I love our people. I love all people. But certainly the ones that I feel like aren't taken care of. And you see that it's not reaching them. Whatever we're trying to do, it ain't reaching them because there's still desperation. There's still depression. There's still not necessarily a hopelessness, but just I'm content within this lifestyle that I've always known and that has supported me thus far. And although it won't get me to all my successes, it's what I know. It's my safe zone. And it's all I know. And it's all I can rely on that I have to rely on. And so, again, I'm going to say this and open it up. I want folks to consider whether or not they should be putting their dollars elsewhere. And one way I've also said is I believe people talk about all these issues, racial tension and systemic and all this, because now we don't have to do nothing. What I want folks to do who are maybe, especially folks who are not of that culture, so let's say, you know, a white man or woman who's trying to, wants to get involved and they're donating to a nonprofit. Okay, check this out. Think what that dollar could do if you hired somebody to do a service for you, whether it was roofing or whatever it is. Hire someone. You know, I've been talking the past week of, we're really going to know people are serious about changing, you know, removing the economic gap when people are willing to rely on black folks, black and brown folks. Rely on me. Don't give me a worksheet. Don't study me. Give me an opportunity. Rely on me to fix your roof. Rely on me to be a caregiver to your children. Rely on me to fix your car. Rely on me. Include me in your economy. You know, that's when I'm going to know people are serious. But they're not serious because they're just throwing – they're giving money, first of all, to folks that are not even, for the most part, from the community. And at the very least, sometimes they're not even of the community. And they're having them, you know, direct money and plan out different strategies with money in communities that they're not even from, and they're not really aware of what's going on and where the need is. And most of those, that money goes for administrative costs. It's not working. It's just not working. Mm-hmm. And I'm frustrated. I know Lonnie is. I know we all are, because we understand, especially folks that are constantly in the communities, working with folks, living in communities, and that this is a life or death. It's easy for y'all to drag that one kid who made it to the fundraisers, and he's like, yeah, we did it, and that's great for that kid and his family. It's a blessing they made it out. But there's also so many people that are, man, you know, they're still struggling. So is it time to high five? Is it time to do it? You know, to do a dance, you know, a touchdown dance like we did. Some we ain't did nothing. We haven't scratched the surface to this problem, and not because we can't. This is the last thing we'll say. It's not because we can't. It's because we won't. And I'll say that one of the biggest lies in this country that I've seen is the lie that we can't change this poverty situation in a few decades. That's the biggest lie. Everybody thinks that. Listen to even Hillary Clinton and what folks are saying. Every generation we try to perfect, you know, perfect the union. That's bull. It doesn't take that long. It only takes that long because we're not on the time of the struggling. We're on the time of the people that are not struggling. We're on their time. They're setting the pace. They're setting the urgency. That's why it takes so long.
When you say that right now, when you just said that, I always think about when they talk about children are hungry in America. And I'm always like, why are kids still hungry in America? This makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Why do I go to a school where kids literally cannot think because they're hungry? Why is that even a thing? It's ridiculous. They're actually
and we're allocating millions of dollars. Right.
And their kids and they're hungry. Well, and some of that is
and you can go issue by issue. You can go to achievement gap and you know, you can go, you know, but again, if we don't have access to lending for the most part, you know, we can't take control of the local corner store. You know, I'm a block away from a corner store right now. You know, it's you know, and now and in this respect it's different, but in most communities it's run by folks outside of the community. And they have no allegiance per se to the community. They have no emotional connection to the community. So they're selling them garbage. Poison.
Right.
If we really want to get real, I don't know how you know healthy people want to get. It's poison, you know. And so again, and then nobody else sees value in the community, which is why they come in here and they sell them poison. And even the people that made it, the black and brown folks that made it, for the most part, especially in the black community, I got to go back to us. We don't see any value in our own communities anymore. We don't even identify with our own community anymore. So we don't even come back, see value, and open up real shops. Real shops that respect people's bodies and give them the fresh nutrients that they need and the minerals they need to really, again, like you said, start off school with a fresh mind, fresh body, fresh thoughts. We don't do that. You know, so all of this stuff is connected. And so I think what we're trying to do in Evanston, and we've been, you know, I don't know if Lonnie wants to reveal some of this as far as the moves as far as real estate that we're trying to do eventually. You know, I'm going to let him take it from there and see where he wants to go on that because he's been quiet over there. And that concerns me because Lonnie is never quiet. So that concerns me. We got to check his pulse. Okay, he's good.
And, you know, I'm going to say the reason why I'm quiet, and I'm going to give a little understanding of things we're going to try to push forward in the next couple of minutes. Number one, you know, I think when you start talking about the achievement gap, you know, I really believe, and honestly, in Evanston, Illinois, one of every two black men for the last 75 years, almost to the man, has not graduated from the school. But not $1 of tax money in those 75 years has been returned because Evanston High School feels like, well, that's just the norm. Well, here, if you
put out one of every two black men for 75 years, and then you wonder why a family is weakened, is because you've taken the power of the man to be a provider in that family. And see, where I'm standing at from this position, I don't want to say it was, I'm going to stop saying I don't want to. I do want to say it was purposeful. And I'm going to stop, sugarcoating things because I can't anymore. It was purposeful. And then when you look at how the community has been pretty much blighted and robbed, and the homes of the people that I grew up with are gone, and there's something physical. So when we start talking about a new plan, we have to do things collectively. We can no longer count on anybody else to help us, to pull us out of anything, because no one's going to pull us out of anything. And if this last 125 years hasn't shown us that, we need to rethink how we're thinking. Because if you look, we haven't got anywhere with this model. And this new model is, collectively, we start buying these homes. We buy these homes just like they buy them. Buy them. They like it's an enemy or something, because I don't want to be set up on an adversarial situation. We have to start taking care of them. And without us taking care of ourselves, everything is out. These young mothers and stuff around here who need homes, they don't even have an institution to go to buy a home if they want to. And some of them are, the man is gone. So we have to find a way to replace and reestablish community. And I think that a real estate investment trust is the vehicle to do that. Anybody wants to look it up and understand what it is, I want them to do that. And I won't go any farther into that because, people will accuse me of some kind of engineering. But, I think if the destruction is engineered, so should be the solution. So I'll leave it at that, Bobby. I don't want to go too far in it. I just want people to know. But, I want y'all to know that even this radio show, I think it's from Malika and this all the time. For us to be communicating in any form, fashion, or way is power. We need to keep talking about everything. We need to examine everything because we're at a point of real crisis. And it's not just, I scream and holler about everything because everything, the brand is on my back, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in California. It's in Georgia. It's in Alaska. You name it, disenfranchised people are losing, and there's a reason because of it. And the reason is because we don't talk, we don't plan, and we don't put ourselves together, for some kind of future. Even me, I use myself as an example. I'm a logo. You know what I'm saying? I got a real good chance and a real good opportunity to come to my city and work. And I always say this to people. I went on a party in 1976. I got back in 2009. And all the money I dropped at the party was supposed to be my children. And it didn't go to them. So,
it's just crazy like that. So I don't want to go too deep, in this. I just want, people to know that we have to become unified. And that's the real message I'm trying to say. So if I sound a little muffled, I'm sorry.
And if anybody, I just want to say this too. Well, first of all, y'all have any questions? Because we just took over y'all's show. We ain't let y'all ask one question, which is just terrible radio editing. So I apologize on behalf of my.
No, don't apologize at all. It's so fine. We love to have our guests come on here with a point of view, and we let y'all talk.
Yes.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it.
Okay. I just want to make sure because I just exhaled. What I'm saying? I'm that wired because it's so I just realized we just stopped and we didn't allow any questions at all. So I appreciate y'all patience. And what I want to say also is that anybody that's out there saying these situations is more complex than this, it's not as simple as they saying, I firmly disagree. And what I'll say to that is that they want you to think that these problems are complex because complexities create opportunity, and opportunity creates jobs and money and all those types of things. And what I mean by that in a very specific way, you have politicians in Chicago that they're part of, they're elected officials who also have day jobs where, they're consultants. Now, one politician in specific has a consulting agency for folks who want to appeal their property taxes. Now, he is in a position where he could streamline this process of appealing your property taxes. He can make it easier. He's in a position where he could effectively advocate for that as an elected official. But he doesn't benefit by making that process easier. He wants it to be complex because it's going to benefit his consulting agency. Folks are going to come to him to try to figure it out. to try to untangle this process that doesn't need to be tangled in the first place. And so, again, I repeat, everybody that thinks that this is the issue of our people, our struggle, all of this stuff is this big a deal where for centuries now we have to study the black man and black woman and try to figure out how to help us just figure it out and get it, and we can't figure it out for ourselves. It's the biggest lie. It's a lie. It's not that complex. It's never been. You know, the Irish have done this to a certain extent. The Jewish community has done this. Every community, marginalized community that was ever marginalized at any point, you know, didn't get to where they're at because, you know, those on the other end were saying, you know what, it's our, the moral thing to do to get these folks out of this condition. They got it from taking political and economic power. And so that's what this is about. And anybody that thinks it's more complex than that, I'm sorry, but you just bought into a lie, into a lie, into a lie. Because it's also, so I'm going to say this, and this is how I know that to be true. I was listening to a Farrakhan interview with my mom the other night, and the stuff he was saying was so powerful. And I'm like, man, this, he must have said this a week because it was hitting on things that had just happened. Man, this man had said this like a decade ago. You know, and we can even go back probably to W.E.B. Du Bois and still see that it would be scary probably how much the conversation has not changed at all.
Right.
That's scary. That's very scary to me, especially with a young a melanated son who's going to come up in this system that has just lied to all of us saying, hey, this is the only way. Because that's what everybody says. When you talk about defunding the police department, when you talk about you know, again, changing the whole nonprofit model and just saying, okay, instead of doing that, just give people money. You know what I'm saying? Show them how to manage and all that kind of stuff, but just give it to them. You know, clean up their credit. Allow them to, you know, get access to lending so they can start businesses. We could take care of ourselves. We have ideas. We have entrepreneurs ourselves. Hey, you know, y'all, by the way, we have entrepreneurs ourselves. We can do this. We've shown it. There's a track record of this dating going back to Africa that we do this very well. So allow us to. Allow us that space. You know, and get off our backs. Stop coming to our neighborhoods trying to find somebody to arrest every 2 seconds. You know, that needs to be shut down. Stop putting so much, stop putting the pressure because it's not working. You're not bringing order. It's not bringing order. It's not working. If anything, you're driving the madness more mad. Because you're locking up in cells, and it's not really getting anywhere. Those prison systems aren't about reforming people. It's about breaking you. There's sociopaths in them places who get off on those positions to step on grown-ass men and tell them what to do and when to do it. That's not no place to recover. There's no therapy going on in those places. That's not recovery. They're torturing them people. So, you know, at some point we have to cut this mess out. We have to cut it out. And whoever is really serious about uplifting our community, cool, you can roll with us. But whoever just wants to play this crazy game, and trust me, there's Democrats and Republicans alike playing this dumb old game and wanting us to play with them too. My uncle always say, I'm not playing a nut roll with you. They want us to play the nut roll with them and act like we can't see that this is bull. And what they do is, those that make it, we like, hey, we made it. Y'all can make it too. You know, we get this ego, and we don't realize that that was just by the grace of God, or however you want to look at it, even if you're a secular person, you know. But that's just – that ain't because – you know, that's just by the grace, because anything can happen. I'm going to reveal some very, very personal thing. When I was in high school, sophomore year, I stole a teacher's car and got caught. Rode around with it around Evanston for 2 weeks. Now, the reason why I'm revealing this story, because I don't really like to give out personal information. The reason why I'm doing this is because of this Paul O'Neill situation. If the penalty to stealing the car is death, I would have been dead at like 15. Because I made that dumb choice as a kid. Rode the car around for 2 weeks, evaded the police when I figured out they was behind me once they finally caught up to me. Because, you know, they pissed off that, you know, we had evaded them this whole time. 2 weeks had the car. I turned down a dead end of Darryl Street, whoever's familiar with Evanston, and get out the car and proceed to try to get away. So similar to Paul O'Neill. Now, I must not have been as good an athlete at the time as Paul O'Neill, because Paul O'Neill, God rest his soul, got busy. God rest his soul. I got tackled immediately, but that could have been me. That I could have been dead at 15. And now I'm the owner of a moderately, you know, successful a political and campaign consulting agency. I would never have had a chance to do that. You know, now I can take care of my mom the way she took care of me. Oh, my God, I would have never been able to do that. I would have been more grief to my mom if I died. I would have been more of a burden on my mom if I died. Now I'm actually giving back to her. Oh, my God, I'm actually doing something. But I would have never got that chance if, again, the penalty of stealing the car is death. You know, so I just connect to all these issues as we all do. We all have that one thing that really connects us and roots us to these, you know, conditions. It makes us feel like I don't have time to play this game with you. Like, again, parading somebody up on a stage every year and asking people for the same amounts of gross amounts of money that they're giving out in these places. And it ain't doing nothing really to really affect our community in a big way. And we really know how to do it. We know how to do it. We know what to do. It's been researched. It's been studied. We just never do it. And I'm going to let Lonnie talk about that study we saw. Tell them about the study we saw that was done in Evanston, Illinois, about, once again, youth violence. Same thing you're hearing today. Again, it's almost like, you know, it's the same story over and over. You know, explain to them that study that the community did.
The study is a joint venture between Northwestern and the city of Evanston. And they studied all the issues. And if you look at it, it looks like it's the exact same thing that's happening today. And this is over 37 years ago. So, in other words, we're repeating the same problem over and over again. And, you know, I know people get really tired of me talking about Evanston because it's pretty national. So, but I always want to use Evanston as a model because it is one of the strongest communities ever. But if you've had these same problems for 37 years and you haven't solved them in 37 years, there's no way that the model that we've been using is correct. And, you know, this you know, there's this, I want to get really back to this picture. You know, I grew up, I was trained in Family Focus, which is a nonprofit. I've been in nonprofit business on one. And it's not that they don't do any good, because I want to get back to Bobby's point of this is not about attacking things. But if there was an engine that would allow people to buy homes, to send their kids to college, all you need is an administrator of the money. If the guy has a kid that fulfills the criteria, send him to school. And don't burden a kid with $240,000 worth of college debt when they get out. So he's really locked in poverty. And he can't drag himself out of poverty, much less his family. You know, he doesn't have the support for it. So we just need to stop we need to stop the little snotty kid pictures and start to think of this in a different way, that we need to invest in people. We need to invest in infrastructure. We need to invest in property, because us losing 40% of our home ownership in 30-some-odd years, it's the true tragedy. And I'm going to say this because I want this to be said, and that they said I said this. This is all about the one resource, and I've said this over and over and over again. This is all about the water to the east of us. It's the largest body of fresh water in the world. And understand that I don't want to call this white or anything, but the elite people understand what resource control means. And if you think we're being priced out of this area for some small little reason, you're wrong. It's about the water. And I'll leave it with that.
Bobby, we appreciate you coming on. You have to come back because almost out of time. You have to come back and talk to us. We appreciate your insight and point of view, because I know our listeners love to hear the truth, because this is all we talk
about. And I could talk about lighter discussions, too. I just want you to know that I'm not always foaming at the mouth crazy or whatever. But that's what we on this week. But if we talking about bacon or the hot spots in Evanston to dine out, I can do that too. You know what I'm saying? I'm still in that world too.
Bobby,
but
for sure you have to come back for what's on Brittany's mind, and you have to come back for Psychic Mike Mondays. So you gotta come back for our lighter side. But appreciate this. We want to give this information to our listeners for you to think about what's going on in your community, where exactly your money is going. I heard a statistic that in the Chicago area, Black people spend over $30 billion with a B. And what if you took that money and just said, forget it, we just gonna buy Black. Forget it. We just want to support ourselves. Forget y'all and do this.
Yeah.
Everybody be up in arms and everything else.
Freedom would hit tomorrow.
And I want to say this too real quick. Black folks spend 95% of their dollars outside of their community. This is my question.
Right.
Is that reciprocated?
Hell no.
Spend some money over here too. That's what I'm saying. Rely on us the way we rely on you. And you will see
exactly.
everything increase by itself naturally. We don't need worksheets. We don't need to be studied no more.
Exactly.
Rely on us.
I love that. I love that. Like, don't give me a worksheet. I love that.
Don't
I
give me.
Shirt.
And that's one of Lonnie's. That's one of Lonnie's. I can't take that from him. He was the first one
okay.
to blast
Lonnie,
that. I
I'm
think it was on Facebook. I got to give it to the him.
I don't need a worksheet. I don't need a worksheet.
He started the
don't
No More
Worksheets
campaign. That's all Lon.
No more worksheets. I'm not, this is, no more worksheets or this is not a zoo. Stop studying me. Like, stop.
And
exactly.
I told folks,
you
know, stop
point.
Trying to, I told folks, stop trying to, you know, you're trying to get people, teaching them, get them in these little boxes, in these places, to teach them to have better self-esteem. And then you put them in
Bobby,
the same conditions that cause them to have bad self-esteem. It's ridiculous.
Bobby, I want
to
ask you something.
No.
Will you tell people where
I'm
to
sorry.
Contact you so people can get in
yes.
touch with you and get to know
sure.
the business that you have? How do they contact you?
PoweringCampaigns.com. PoweringCampaigns.com with a G. And also Bobby Burns on Facebook. I got a little Instagram. I'm not on the Snap yet, but that's coming. You know, I'm going to give in, just do it, because everybody is just in it, so let me get
I'm
in
I'm not
it
on
too.
There either.
I'm a modern company, so I got to be in everything. But definitely Bobby Burns on Facebook, on Instagram, and PoweringCampaigns.com. You can check out the consulting agency.
For sure, you have to come back. Thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you.
We will talk to you soon. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Do we get the Biggie? We got Biggie Smalls on the intro music. Can we get Tupac going out? Give me some
Pop. I don't know if we have.
We talk about.
I don't know if we have. Right. I don't know if we have Tupac going out.
One more
but
time. You don't got Pop going out. Okay.
Sorry for now.
I don't know if we got
Lonnie.
Tupac going.
Lonnie, take care of yourself. We love you. We're glad you're back to 100%. Lonnie out there. Malika, as always.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, Lonnie, for your insight. We will be back. Malika, you know.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Know how we do. You're the best.
Yes.
And everybody else out there, thank you for listening, and think about your money and where it's going. Think about
real
every single
talk.
Dollar you spend.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it going?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you write that check? What happens when you swipe that card? Where is it going? And is it directly benefiting you and your community? And we all should think about that. Again, thank you all of our listeners for listening. We love you. This is 30 Plus. What the fuck, man?
Mm-hmm.